Kempire is brought to you by
Boston. You're up next. The Kempire After Dark live show is coming to Boston on May 30th. Have you gotten your tickets yet? Well, Nashville, we're also coming to you in July, July 11th, and then July 12th, we will be in Atlanta. And after that, in August, we will be coming through to Seattle. We're bringing our live show of Hot Topics, Real Housewives, Vanderpump Rules, Married to Medicine, and so much more to a city near you. And I know you all have been asking, when are you coming to my city? We are waiting to confirm some of those dates as well. So stay locked. Make sure you're following us so you can get updates. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast as well, because we will definitely be updating you here about the Kempire After Dark live tour. Be sure to check out the description for more details on our live tour stops coming up soon.
You're listening to Kempire on the Kempire Radio Network.
So it looks like as we roll to the end of Love and Marriage DC that we're finally getting a season, or at least some closure. That's what we get at the end of this episode, episode 8, where Ashley and Joyce finally sit down to have a conversation. And I'm like, whoo, they're both apologizing. Because honestly, I will say this. I don't know how many times I'm saying honestly, but I'll say it again. I honestly thought that, yeah, we don't need another conversation because they've had multiple conversations and it's led to nothing. However, this conversation at first feels as if, okay, all right, people are taking ownership, but it leads into a conversation about Clifton being a mean girl. And I said, I don't know, Ashley, how you thought that degrading someone's husband, emasculating someone's husband, is ever going to be something that you're, someone that you're trying to make amends with, is ever going to work out. But we will get there. For those that are just joining us, this is our weekly recap of Love and Marriage DC. As always, let me know how you would rate this week's episode from 1 to 10. If you're watching on Facebook, if you're watching on Twitch or Twitter, let us know. But YouTube, you can vote in the poll. But Replay Crew, let us know in the comment section on your thoughts on Love and Marriage DC as a season. We're about to be done with the season. I thought that Ashley was going to stop recapping the show on her YouTube channel because Winter says she's not going to do it anymore. But apparently she did do it. I didn't get to watch it, which is fine, because I just want to recap and talk about the episode. So let's get into our Love and Marriage DC recap. Welcome back to the Kempire Channel, your number one source for pop culture news and music, entertainment, reality TV, and so much more. As always, don't forget to like the video, subscribe, vote in our live chat poll, and don't forget, if you're listening to this, to give us a 5-star rating on the Kempire podcast on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Shout out to all of you that have been doing that and have been telling friends and friends to get into the show or to rate the podcast. We appreciate it. All right. So before we get into our Love and Marriage DC recap, I had to start off, before I even started recording, I made sure I got myself together in regards to my vitamins. So as I start my morning routine, one of the things that I always do is have my AG1. One of the important things that I've been focusing on, as I've been talking about mental health, but also more importantly, my physical health. You can't enjoy the fruits of working hard if you are physically not feeling the energy, if you're not taking care of your body. And one of the ways that I decided to take care of my body has been partnering with AG1, but also using the product, a product that I really do believe in. And I told you guys this the other day. I was meeting with my nutritionist and we were talking about what are the ingredients. And she was actually really impressed with the ingredients, but also more so impressed with the process that they go through for certification. She was like, oh, wow, you have to really invest and believe in what you're doing in order to go through this very lengthy process that they go for certifications. So since drinking AG1 daily, I've seen more energy. It's easy to take on the go. I really do appreciate the value and how it makes me feel. More importantly, and a lot of you have been asking, how does it taste? It isn't this harsh taste. It has like almost like a pineapple-y, fruity kind of flavor to it. Easy to go down, more importantly. And that's because AG1 is a foundational nutrition supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. Since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. All right. So not only did I replace my multivitamin with AG1, I love that every scoop also includes pre and probiotics and digestive enzymes for gut support. I don't think people realize how much your gut and its health is important to your overall health. All right. I recommend AG1 to all of my family and friends. A lot of you have been asking me about AG1. And look, it has been tested for 950 contaminants. And more importantly, this is what impressed my nutritionist. It is NSF certified for support. According to my nutritionist, you have to go through a very lengthy process in order to get this certification. So that really stood out to me and really made me trust what I was putting into my body. So even my friends have started drinking AG1 and they always tell me how energetic they feel. They definitely feel a difference. So I've been really, really happy, especially because, you know, I've been very active. I'm very busy on here. I'm doing Pilates. I'm doing a lot. I'm touring. All of this has helped supplement my energy when I need it. So if there's one product that I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why I'm excited to welcome them back as a new partner here on the channel. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/Kempire. That's drinkag1.com/Kempire. More information will be available in the description. All right. Thank you to AG1 for sponsoring today's live recap of Love and Marriage DC. So let's get into this recap. We shall see how the rest of the season goes. But I have to say, if I had to rate this particular episode, I'm definitely going to probably rate it a 7. I don't remember how I rated last week's episodes, but I definitely would rate this one at least a 7. I thought it was a solid episode. What I really enjoyed was the conversation. We talked about this last week in regards to Jamie talking about his mental health, being a former police officer, and how that's affected his health. This week, we get this scene with him and other police officers. We will get to that. We start off the episode, though, with Winter and Joy reacting to their trip. Joy says that she's never had the relationship that Black was trying to say at this retreat during the whole Terry intuitive reading situation. Joy says that she didn't feel like it was a safe space. She didn't understand why no one else understood that. Winter starts making jokes about the animal analogies that Joy is making throughout this conversation in regards to Black. She was like, you know, I can't even remember the analogy. Basically, she's saying that, you know, people can act like a zebra, but they're really a donkey, referring to Black. I'm like, okay. I get why Winter's making fun of this, because it's like, what are we talking about here? What is this analogy? But I get what Joy is trying to say. Joy is basically saying that he is a wolf in sheep's clothing. We're used to that particular analogy versus what she gave us. So she's basically saying that he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Or maybe she doesn't want to even give him the stature of a wolf, okay? All right. Joy then reveals that Winter's boyfriend, Yusha, is actually the only one in the group that reached out to her and apologized for her experience. Apparently, Yusha said, oh, I see you. So Winter, though, had no idea. Okay. So we talked about this last week. I didn't see any problem with what Yusha had to say when he was talking to Winter and the rest of the group about the whole Joy situation. He has a right to his own opinion. He definitely does. And I agreed with him. He doesn't know any of these folks. He's feeling like, I can say this to you guys. I'm not saying it to her, but I'm saying to you guys, like, I can see where she might not have felt safe in this group situation because she's not getting along with anyone. We have Terry sort of exposing her situation, and a lot of you had reactions to Terry and her method, because it did feel like she was coming for Joy specifically, but maybe there's a reason. Maybe there's a reason. Maybe that is her technique. I don't know. Here's where you lost me, though, Yusha. Yusha basically reaches out to Joy behind Winter's back. Winter should not, especially as your girlfriend, should not be blindsided by her own friend. My boyfriend reached out to you? I want to know how you guys feel about it, because some of you might say that's inappropriate for your boyfriend to be reaching out to my girlfriend. Some of you don't like that regardless, even if it's not an issue. I don't need my girlfriend reaching out to my husband. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't see what you should said in that conversation as being inappropriate or wrong. He basically wants to say, I see you. I see what you guys are going through. So Joy says that he's the only one in the group to have apologized. But Winter's stuck on, he didn't protect me. Winter, this is not about you. I can understand if you are having issues with Joy, okay. But you're supposedly Joy's friend. And I don't see Yusha saying anything that was inappropriate. If anything, the only inappropriate part for me was the fact that he reached out to Joy and didn't even tell you and give you a heads up. You're blindsided by Joy telling you, oh, he reached out to you? Like, that's never cool. And you're in a new relationship. So it kind of says to me, she calls it a red flag, according to Winter. I don't know if that's necessarily a red flag, but maybe it is. Maybe it's a pink flag, because it says to me, if we are in a serious relationship, if we're married, that you would do something like that and you haven't told your partner. In the moment, last week when he was defending Joy and Clifton and giving his side of what was going down, I didn't see a problem with that. But now you're reaching out. Okay, it's not her ops, it's Ashley's ops. But at the time, Winter's cool with Joy. But you're reaching out to my friend, and you didn't even tell me you reached out to my friend. And mind you, Yusha is actually friends with Black and Shirella. So that is weird. That part for me is weird. I didn't think what Yusha said was weird. I didn't think what Yusha said was wrong. However, reaching out to my friend and never... it's one thing if you say, I'm going to reach out to them and just, you know, show them support. But we have to keep in mind, Yusha is Black's friend, Shirella's friend, and Winter's boyfriend at the time. That is a little weird to me. That is a little weird to me. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right. So Ashley, this was probably one of my favorite scenes, like for the fun of it all, because we've had a season of Love and Marriage DC where it feels as if we're constantly fighting. We don't know what we're fighting about. So this scene where we get, and I honestly, watching Ashley, Arena, Winter, and Shirella, I was like, in my head, like, this is the future of this show if we can get it together. Like, their chemistry as a group was palpable. It was good. It was fun. It was a good scene. And I felt like everyone was genuinely trying to navigate and get along in this scene. It felt good. For me, it was my favorite fun scene besides, you know, the group therapy that Jamie did. I loved that scene for a different reason. This scene just felt like what we needed. It was fun. I like the art therapy. I've never heard of fluid art before. But Ashley, as you know, she's struggled with her mental health, and she says, and she struggles with sleep. A lot of people struggle with sleep. So Ashley says that she's been, you know, using this as a way to calm her and things like that. She says it's helped her relax. All right. And I know what some of you are thinking, really? She needs to do some more. Winter and Arena do not come dressed to play with the paint. They said that you said casual. This is casual. This is not a ball gown. We already know with Arena, she's going to show up, all right? They're also filming a show, so they're not going to show up very casual, all right? Anyway, so they go out back to have some food and to do some fluid art. So while they're doing the fluid art, they're talking about what's been going on. Ashley reveals, and Arena starts tearing up because they really have built a real friendship. And I hope that they get back there, because right now they're not in a good place, according to what they're saying on social media. But she, you know, Arena gets emotional when Ashley talks about, I haven't talked to my mom since that episode aired. And apparently her mom hasn't not read Ashley's book, where she talks about growing up and moving out at an early age. Like at 16, she moved out of her mom's home. But like a lot of Black mamas, she's embarrassed. You don't talk about family business to the public. So this is, and I'm not saying that that's what it should be, but that is cultural in a lot of Black households. So her mom hasn't spoken to Ashley since. And of course, Ashley is hurt by that. And she says that she feels like her mom feels like Ashley hates her, but she said that's not the truth. Shirella, in this moment, wants to uplift Ashley for being vulnerable. And she says, you know, this was a very human moment. And Ashley doesn't want to get teary when Shirella is saying this. But I really appreciate Shirella in this moment pouring into Ashley because I didn't expect it. But this is what people need from each other. You know, encouragement in regards to feeling your feelings. And she says, you know, people like to dehumanize you on social media and being a part of this platform. Look, I feel like they try to dehumanize black people and specifically black women. So I'm not surprised by that. But I also know within the social media world, people have really come at Ashley, called her a mean girl and all these different things. Ashley, I'm sure this episode is not going to be a good one for you, to be honest, based on what we see. And again, I always remind you guys, you're watching an edited show, and yes, that doesn't change what they've said. However, keep in mind, context is real. Context is real. However, I have my opinions, okay, based on what we've seen and watched. And of course, you have your opinions, all right? So, you know, Shirella says that, you know, they like to dehumanize you, and Ashley starts to get emotional, but she's like, I'm trying to be, you know, I'm trying to be hard. I'm trying to be gangsta out here. And Winter's just like, no, being gangsta doesn't mean that you can't cry. And I thought that was a very wise words. And so I liked this scene, but of course the scene Arena brings up, because Winter refers to the Petties as the Cliftons, because she's like, you know, the Cliftons are going to be, you know, I forgot what they were talking about, but she refers to the Petties as the Cliftons, and Arena's like, they're the Petties. So Arena's like, I'm going to have to mention to Joy and Clifton how Winter is one way when she's with this group of ladies versus when she's with Joy and Clifton. Which I agree, because it's kind of weird, like, you are in a good place. I don't know, again, this is where context is important. I don't know what has happened, or is just Winter a flip-flopper? Are you just trying to get in good with Ashley and Shirella? But she does have a friendship with Shirella. She's getting to a friendship with Ashley. But Arena's just like, I'm going to have to bring this up. Arena, you know, you are a troublemaker. But I get it. She's real friends with Joy and Clifton. And this is a very different energy that she believes that Winter's giving when she's in certain spaces. All right. So Raina says she's going to have to bring this up to them. So Ashley discusses receiving a text from Joy after the Deep Creek, you know, trip that they did. As you remember, Ashley says she wasn't ready to meet with her. Apparently, there was a text exchange. Ashley says that she doesn't believe that she can move forward with Joy because of Clifton. Okay, before we get to that, I know that whole text situation is confusing. And Arena was right. Arena was just like, well, she said in that last text, I will wait for you until you're comfortable to, you know, figure out a day and a time. Because Ashley, in her last text to Joy, sometime next week. Let's aim for sometime next week. So, Ashley, I'm confused as why you would be waiting on Joy to reach out to you when she's clearly said to you, I want to wait until you're comfortable. And you've given her, well, sometime next week. Well, if you're telling me sometime next week and you're telling me you're busy, well, I'm going to wait for you to tell me what time. I'm not going to be up under you. So is today a good day? No. Like, I get why Joy wouldn't reach out to you. Why am I reaching out to you? I've already reached out to you. You told me you're not ready. You told me sometime next week. All right. So I guess you'll let me know when you're available. And I'll let you know if that works for me. So Arena corrects Ashley. And Ashley, you could tell in that moment, doesn't know what to say. So she leans on, oh, I don't know if I can move forward with her. So it's sort of like twerking on that fence, but not even. It feels as if she's a humming, a humming, a humming in this moment, because Arena catches you in this moment. She's like, well, it really is on you. Why haven't you reached out to her? You told her sometime next week. And now it's, oh, I don't know if I can move forward with her because of her husband. All right. I may have missed something, or maybe I am just too forgiving. Do we believe that Clifton did something to Ashley besides the lean in? What has Clifton done to Ashley? Okay, he says that maybe quick and Ashley might be a little thirsty. Is that stuff enough for Ashley to be like, I don't know if I can move forward with Joy based off of Clifton. Unless there's something that we're missing. Again, there's context. But based off what we've seen on the show, I don't understand why Clifton is the line in the sand on whether Joy and Ashley can move forward. I don't get it. I don't get it. What about you? What exactly did Clifton do to you, Ashley? Was it the lean in? Was it him saying that you guys were thirsty? I mean, he made some shady comments when we get the scene with Joy and Clifton. We will get to that in just a second. All right.
Hey, guys, time to get in on the action for the biggest moments in basketball with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projections, place your entry, and win up to 100 times your money. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit of up to $100. Just download the Prize Picks app and use the code GET100. That's code GET100 on Prize Picks for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
So she just said she doesn't know if she can move forward. And then she refers to Clifton. She said he's very sassy for a man. And then she refers to him as a lady. We have discussed where I believe are the roots when women refer to men as sassy or getting involved in women's business. And I always tell you that I feel like it's rooted in a little in homophobia. I don't think the women that are saying this are homophobic, but I don't think they realize, and not even just homophobia, misogyny. I believe that it's also rooted in misogyny, because why would it be a negative connotation for a man to be a woman? As a woman, like, why is that negative? But we also know that it's not just about that. It's more so about feminizing men, meaning, you know, you see a lot of homosexuals that are feminine. So you know men don't want to be referred or looked at in that way. And this is why I always say I feel like there is an element of homophobia in those types of statements. And we need to start looking at that and being very mindful of that. So, and I don't understand, if anything, for me, if I was Joy, that's where I would draw the line in the sand. You're not going to talk about my husband in this way. What has my husband done to you? Because some people might say the same thing about DJ Quick in regards to how he handles some of this stuff. Does he get involved in the women's stuff? No, but he has, though. Look, if we go back to season one, remember him going up against Winter during the reunion? A lot of people came at him for how he handled that situation. So I just feel like I don't like it. We've talked about this, especially on reality television, especially within our Black culture. There is a lot of homophobia that is masked with, oh, that's not what I meant. I mean, you know, men shouldn't be. Okay, let's get to the root of what that is. But I say all that to say Jamie and this meeting that he has with Dr. McAllister, and he brings some of his former colleagues within the police department. This was an amazing conversation about, we have our thoughts and opinions. You remember during the pandemic and the situations that have happened when it comes to the police. However, there are good police officers. There are police officers dealing with what they're dealing with. And I like this conversation because we don't think about police officers and what they are going through and why they might react certain ways because it's such a high intense job. But let me tell you this conversation, because you know Jamie and Lil Jamie have had their issues. Apparently, Jamie gives an update saying that Jamie's in a better place right now, Lil Jamie, and he's doing well, he's working, but he realizes the reason why he may have been really harsh with Jamie is because of his years in the police force. He was 25 years in the police force, but now he's retired. But just because he's retired doesn't mean that all of what he's experienced over those 25 years is still affecting him. At one point, one of the other guys, one of the sergeants says, you know, when I'm driving around these neighborhoods, I'm still affected because I remember when someone was hurt here or arrested here or had a confrontation here. I never thought about that. And I was like, oh, you see this area differently than I do, even after you're retired. So they need a lot more support. And we've said this before when we talk about police brutality, not only do they need support in regards to what Jamie and these other folks are talking about, but they also need support when talking about and dealing with communities, and because we always talk about how they're not trained well enough to handle or to de-escalate situations. That's the conversation when we talk about police brutality, that we need these officers trained in that. We also need them to have counseling, because I think that will also, because I think some of what we see from police officers is because they are triggered, they are confrontational. But if they're not in counseling and they're not dealing with those issues and those triggers, they're going to lash out at the community. They're going to lash out at their own family, which we've seen with Jamie and Lil Jamie. I know we're going to call him LJ. Oh my God. every season. I get it. We need to figure out some new name for him, but whatever. Jamie talks about his dreams and his nightmares that he has even after retirement. Chanel, who is also a police officer, said she decided not to become a mother because of her job. Like, and I know a lot of women, specifically Black women, are dealing with those thoughts as they want to, you know, climb the corporate ladder. But she was also thinking, because of the type of job that she has, she did not want to become a mother. And I wonder, I can't remember if she said that she regretted that, but you could feel like there was some level of regret, or, you know, maybe I should have had children. But maybe listening to their stories on how they're treating their family, she's like, maybe it's a good thing that I didn't have children. Who knows? They also talk about the alcoholism and the unliving of rates within those that are employed by the police department, and how those are just on the increase because they're not receiving the proper current, you know, therapy and post therapy that you need. Because can you imagine always being in a position like that, where it's not constant confrontation, constant having to be on the alert, even when you're not? Even when you're not working, you're on the alert. So we had that powerful scene. I thought that was an amazing scene. I thought that was a really, really important scene. I mean, we don't get a lot of this on reality television, so I thought this was a really, really good scene. So we get the scene with Joy and Clifton. She's planning her birthday party. She has to change the venue. Clifton comes out, so they have a conversation about her text exchange with Joy. I mean, with Ashley. And she said that she was surprised that Ashley was waiting to hear from her. Again, Ashley, this is strange. Look, this is strange. Why are you waiting to hear from Joy? Joy was literally waiting outside at that place in Deep Creek, waiting for you to come outside. She waited like 30 minutes. You didn't come out. Fine. All right. Now you're still waiting for her. Like, it's giving mean girl. Come on. It's giving pompous, it's giving arrogant, like, why am I reaching out to you? Like, I've tried. I have reached out to you. I'm giving you the space that you need until you're ready, okay? Well, Clifton wonders what another conversation between Joy and Ashley's going to even do. And I thought the same thing, because we've seen them try to have multiple conversations, and it's led nowhere. But I'm thinking some of this is coming from production. You guys need to sit down and have a conversation so you can move forward. All right. Clifton then reveals that there is, you know, before there weren't issues between the husbands, but now there's an issue between Quick and Clifton. Clifton says that we know who wears the pants over there in regards to Ashley and Quick's situation. So this is where people will say that Clifton, in his shady comments and things like that, all right, but I do wish that, and I feel like, and I said this last week, Quick said that, oh, we'll have a conversation. I don't know if that conversation was edited out. I don't know if that conversation ever happened, or did Quick just say that in the moment so he can, you know, puff out his chest? I don't know. But we never had that conversation between Quick and Clifton. I don't feel like the issues between these couples are that big of a deal. We are dealing with so much on these other shows where we're like, I don't know how you come back from that. When we talk about Real Housewives of Potomac and the accusations that have flown between these folks, and they're still able to film together and still have a good kiki and a good time, we can't say the same between Joy and Ashley. We can't say the same. So I don't see the issues that are between these couples that are hard to get over. Literally, in this last scene, we almost feel as if we're able to move forward. But you know what happens next. Guys, if you're just joining us, this is our weekly recap of Love and Marriage DC. Don't forget, you can hear the audio version of this and special episodes on the Kempire podcast, on Apple Podcasts, and on Spotify. While you're there, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. Also, the Kempire After Dark live show is coming to a city near you. We will be in Boston May 30th. Get your tickets now at City Winery Boston. Or head on over to the description for more details. Nashville, Atlanta, we will be in Nashville on July 11th, and then we'll be in Atlanta July 12th. After that, we will be in Seattle on August 30th. If you haven't gotten your tickets, head on over to the description for more details. The Kempire After Dark live show is coming to a city near you, and I know you're asking, where are you coming to my city? We're working on it. We're working on it. Keep letting your city know that you want to see us bring our live show there as well. All right, guys, if you haven't already, be sure to like the video. It's an easy and free way of supporting not just my channel, but other channels as well. Don't forget, tomorrow we will be having our Real Housewives of Potomac recap with a special guest. The Brooke Ashley will be dropping by. We will also be recapping Summer House Martha's Vineyard later that day. So be sure to stay tuned for that recap. And be sure to subscribe and turn on your notifications so you don't miss out on any of our content. Like, we did a weekend update with Kempire, talking about some of what was going on in reality television. So be sure to check out that video if you missed it yesterday. All right. So Ashley is listening to audio from her book. So she talks with her husband Quick about her mom and what's going on with her mom. She's still not talking to her mom. And she says that her mom in this moment still has not read her book. And next week we have a conversation between Ashley and her mom. Hopefully they get to a better space. I get why Ashley's mom might be embarrassed because, you know, black parents, they never want to feel like they did anything wrong. But here's the thing too. No parent wants to feel like they did anything wrong. But especially black parents, they're like, you telling our business to the world. It's being shared on this reality television. I'm sure she's probably hearing from people from around the way about this. So she's embarrassed. She's embarrassed. So it will be interesting to see this conversation next week. Winter and Yusha have a conversation about this text or this conversation that Yusha had with Joy. Yusha says it wasn't an apology, but an acknowledgement. I mean, I get it. Yeah, because what would he necessarily be apologizing for? Basically, he said, I see you in that conversation with Joy. But Winter says that she feels some type of way that he's providing safety for Joy and not her. Winter, this is not about you, girl. This is where she loses me, because I could feel for Winter if this was a battle between Winter and Joy. But this is not even your fight. I could understand Joy and not Joy. Winter saying to Yusha, well, you set me up for failure here because you should have told me that you reached out to her. I shouldn't be blindsided when I'm talking with my friend to hear that you reached out to her and provided safety, because Joy's just like, well, he's the only one that reached out. Winter didn't even reach out. Winter does feel that Joy in that moment during the trip was giving weird answers, being defensive for no reason. I don't know if she was being defensive for no reason. The way that Terry was coming at her, I can understand her being defensive, especially because she doesn't know Terry. And she's also in a group with people that she's having issues with. So, but Winter, you making this about you and him providing you safety or him not providing you safety, I was like, this is a bit of a reach. Anyone else? It's not even a bit of a reach. It is a reach. And this is where I always kind of look at Winter with the side eye. I'm like, girl, like, there are moments with Winter, I'm like, okay. Like, when I see her off of the show, I'm like, okay. She seems fine. But when I see her on the show, I'm just like, there's a reason why she was with that man. You remember the man from her first season that she married and she'd never been over to his house and he was living in his parents' basement, but she didn't know? Like, when it comes to red flags, you seem to always miss them. This is why I don't judge Reese Letiza, because I know that there are people out here doing worse And I know you're probably thinking, worse than Reese Letitia? Yes, they just don't tell you. You know what I mean? They just don't tell you that they're making these terrible decisions despite the red flags I'm hitting them in the face. I'm not saying that Yusha's perfect. I'm not saying that Yusha's innocent. I do believe that Yusha should have told Winter, like, I reached out to, you know, Joy, or I'm going to reach out to Joy and say this. Because maybe he knew that she was going to be like, no, don't reach out to her. So we're starting to see the cracks in Yusha and Joy's relationship already. All right. But I feel like these are cracks that Winter is making up. Let's get to this last scene. Okay. So Ashley and Joy finally sit down to have a conversation. Ashley says that she's having a hard time with the fact that Joy says that she can't trust her. Joy says, well, I do believe that trust can be mended and earned. Okay. And look, we keep forgetting what started all of this. Joy was not happy with Ashley revealing to her friend Alicia that she was already married to Clifton. Okay? So I understand where Joy might not have trust in Ashley. Okay? So, but she's saying that, yes, I don't trust you right now, especially with some of the things that you brought up on camera, when you think about that as well. But I feel like we can move forward. And I'm thinking in this moment, okay, are we going to move forward? We're moving forward. Ashley gives Joy an apology. Joy says, I apologize for anything that made you feel any kind of way. I'm like, okay, only for us to go from left field. Oh gosh, this must be the Scorpio in Ashley. She's just like, she says that Ashley says that she and Joy genuinely like each other. And she says that she doesn't know how they can move forward because of Clifton. And she says that, you know, people call her a mean girl. She knows when she sees a mean girl. And she says that Clifton is a mean girl. Oh, damn. Why do we go here? Again, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I forgot something that happened between Clifton and Ashley. You guys will let me know in the live chat. You will let me know in the comment section what exactly. And you let me know if maybe you agree with Ashley. No, something that Clifton did, him, you know, leaning in or him calling them thirsty. Maybe there was something else that I may have missed. And maybe they didn't show it. Maybe Ashley has revealed this in her recaps and she said it on social media. Maybe there's more to the situation why Ashley feels like she can't move forward because of Clifton. Look, I've been in a situation where I was friends with someone and I did not like their partner. And to this day, we're not friends because of that. Well, they chose that situation. All good. All good. You should choose your partner. But you should also understand Joy's position. If you're going to come for my partner, my husband, you and I can't rock. And I'm not going to sit here after we just apologize to each other and allow you to degrade my husband. I'm not going to do that. You're calling him a mean girl. You're calling him sassy. You're doing all of these things. And I don't feel as if, yes, he may have called you thirsty, but has he said anything like this in regards to you, Ashley? And why would you think that that would be okay to say to this woman after you are trying to move in the right place? And honestly, if I was Joy, I'd be like, well, we just apologized, Ashley. Now you're taking it to a whole other level. We can't move forward if you're talking about my husband in this way. And I don't even recall Joy saying anything derogatory about Quick. I can't remember, maybe insinuating that Ashley wears the pants in the relationship, but Clifton is the one that said that this week. Maybe they're too much alike, Ashley and Clifton, and this is why they don't like each other. I still don't understand why Ashley feels as if she can't move forward with Joy because of Clifton. If Clifton had done something to a level that I felt like, oh, I get it. Yeah, you can't be around her because of this. Or maybe you can't be around them as a couple. But if you both genuinely like each other, I don't feel as if anything that Clifton has done, at least based off of the show, is unforgivable. You can't move forward. Now, Ashley, you are the stumbling block. When we talk about this on Real Housewives of Potomac, we see Giselle, we see Dr. Wendy Acefo refusing to move forward or reaching for an issue. That's where it's sort of like, okay, we get it. If you don't like these people, you don't have to be on a show with them. Get off our show. Because at this point, you are the stumbling block, Ashley. We saw that earlier in the episode. We see it now at the end of this episode. You are trying to find an issue. You're waiting for Joy to get back to you, even though she said, I'm busy this week. Let's do something sometime next week. Ashley, you are the stumbling block here. You are the one refusing to move forward. Just when I think that we're moving forward, you bring us back here. You bring us back here, and it's not a great place. It's not a great place. This was not a great episode for Ashley, to be honest with you. Based off what I'm watching on this episode, it felt as if you are refusing to move forward. You are looking for every excuse not to move forward. Do I think Joy and Clifton are great for the show? Not really. Look, not really. But I had hope, because after watching that scene with the fluid art event, I was like, oh, this could be the group going forward. But then when I saw that you and Joy seemed to make amends at the end before you started making those comments about Clifton, I was like, well, then maybe Joy can come back into the fold and we can move forward and have a good season. So there is a possibility that everyone could return if they get a third season. You think that they will get a third season? When I went to DC, when we performed at Union Stage for the Kempire After Dark live show, a lot of you said, I was like, are you guys watching Love and Marriage DC? I mean, of course, it's your area, so that's part of the reason why you want to watch. A lot of you said, yes, we're watching it. We're watching it. We like the show. So I think that they will get a season three. I mean, if Detroit got a season two, I think DC will definitely get a season three. And I think they could move forward with this cast, but these issues between Ashley and Clifton, the constant comments of referring to him as sassy, a mean girl, feminizing him, that will never be okay with me. I never liked it, even back in the day with Nene and Peter. Just saying. But that's me. You might have a different opinion. I know plenty of you that say, we don't like it when men get into women's business. Let me know in the comments section, but it's all about how you let me know. We don't moderate adults. Don't attack people for their opinions, because you will get blocked. Okay? Anyways, be sure to like the video, guys, if you haven't already. And don't forget to download and subscribe to the Kempire Podcast on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. While you're there, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. And as always, don't forget to check out our sponsor of today's live show, AG1. More information on how you can get a discount and kind of some freebies are available in the description. Thank you to our channel members. Thank you to our subscribers. And of course, thank you to our King's Guards for holding us down in the live chat and in the comments section. If you haven't already, be sure to like the video, be sure to share the video, be sure to subscribe. It is a subscribers only live chat. Thank you all for being here. I will see you guys in the next one. Bye, y'all. Let's get out of here.
Thanks for tuning into Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. For more details on Kempire Radio, head on over to kempireradio.com.